Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Before I introduce the guest speaker, I just want to say to everybody watching online, hello! We are so glad to have you guys joining us today. We're so glad you're with us. Now to get to the guest speaker. All right, so here's the deal. He's only spoke here one other time before, but he knocked it so far out of the park that Pastor David reached... Yeah, okay, I know. See, I hear you. Pastor David reached around to him again and said, would you come one more time? And he said, yeah. So he's here again this weekend, but let me give you a few factoids, all right? At one point in time, he was one of the pastors at the largest church in America, and he did that well. And then he started his own consulting firm. He's the founder of it. He travels around the world helping businesses and non-for-profits and individuals do better in their businesses. And he's doing a great job with that. He's an author, but he's a newly released book author as well. And this is going to be available to all of us. It's called Fast Like Daniel. You go to fastlikedaniel.com and check it out. And I hope that you guys do, because it's a great resource for you all. His wife is amazing, and she's godly, and she's beautiful. His two kids, Wesley and Jaden, they're amazing, and they're godly, and their shoe game is on fleek, and they are from Oklahoma, which is why I'm wearing this sweatshirt, people. But they're from Oklahoma. We're from South Florida. Let's show them how we greet people. Stand here, feet. Welcome to the stage, Scott Williams.
I need to like take Heather with me like everywhere I go. She's amazing. Like I just need her to do my intro. First, I want to start by welcoming everybody. Join us all around the world at Church Online. Those of you guys at Sample Road, at Lake Worth, at Fort Lauderdale. We got Dade CI. We got Homestead. We got Dubai. We got New Zealand. I mean, y'all are everywhere. It's good, man. It's so good to be with you guys. A little bit about me. My name is Scott Williams. I bring you greetings from the great state of Oklahoma, the city of Oklahoma City, home of the 2018 NBA champions, Oklahoma City Thunder. That wasn't a joke. Y'all work with me now. Y'all work with me. That wasn't a joke. I think last time I was here, I said that y'all kind of laughed. Now y'all not quite laughing as much. You're still doing a little wait and see. I thought I was going to be able to come up here and say, home of my Oklahoma Sooners competing in the national championship next week. But that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's rough. I haven't watched ESPN all week. A brother's still frustrated about that. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But again, I'm from Oklahoma City. I'm married. I have one wife. She's awesome. She's beautiful. My family's actually here with me today. Her name is LaKendria. There she is. I was going, there you go. She can clap for my wife. She's awesome. She's like the hot fudge and caramel on my sundae. She's the hot sauce and maple syrup on my chicken and waffles. Love her. And we have two sons. Our oldest son is Scott Wesley Williams Jr. That's him there. That's a picture we took. We were in South Africa, and so that's like on Table Mountain or something. He's a freshman at OU, so again, he hadn't watched the news all week either. We're still a little devastated by the loss. And then our youngest son is Jaden Scott Williams. I know I'm kind of like George Foreman. All my kids have Scott Williams in their name, and he's a freshman in high school at Heritage Hall. Just won a state championship in football about 3 weeks ago, so it's a big deal. It's the only thing I can clap for right now as far as sports is concerned. So it's great. That's my family there. So it's awesome, man. And we travel a lot. I love when they get the opportunity to travel with me. And so they're just finishing like Christmas break for Jaden. And then Wesley's got a couple more weeks. And we figured, you know what? Man, it's Christmas break. It's the end of it. End of a little break. We'll go ahead and go to sunny South Florida. Lies. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good. It's warming up a little bit. But like, seriously, we got here. Like, people are like in parkas. Like, y'all got North Face jackets on. It's only 50. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are like, it's crazy, but it's good. And so, man, I tell you, I love being here. I love kind of hanging out. And I actually did just release a book on, came out January 1. It's called Fast Like Daniel. It's basically, it's a 21-day devotional to kind of help people walk through the Daniel fast. And then if you go to fastlikedaniel.com, there's some free resources there. It's a 21-day like meal plan. It's kind of help you as you're beginning this new year to kind of really set the foundation. And so, you know, I'd love for you guys to go pick up a copy. It's Fast Like Daniel. And I just want to let you guys know in advance, everybody at all of our locations are here. All the proceeds will go to a black family. private school, man. It's expensive, you know what I'm saying? Lord, forgive me. What was I saying? No, but I really love being here. Like, you, what you got to understand, like, I travel. I'm at so many different churches, and every church is different. But one thing about this church is that, man, your pastors are real. I love Pastor Dave and Lisa. They're like the real deal. What you see is what you get. What's on stage is what's off stage, man. Treat everybody the same. I mean, like, Pastor Dave, he's, like super creative, and, like, he knows, like, everything about everything. He's got this extra dose of, like, wisdom and all that. Like, they're just, I mean, the whole family. I mean, Charlie was in Oklahoma City. Got a chance to spend some time with him. Victoria, Zane, I was showing him some like flag football stuff last time I was here. I just love their family. And you guys just need to know that like what you see here with like worship and how amazing it is and what you see going on with like the creativity and all this stuff, like this ain't normal. So I don't want you guys to take that for granted. And you may not get the opportunity to do this often, but just give a hand clap and honor your pastors for their leadership and everything that they're doing. Awesome. Church by the Glaze. Like I'm a part of the family. You know what I'm saying? Like I've adopted myself into the family. First time I'm a guest. But after I come more than once, like, I'm family. So for some of you guys, I'm like that cool black brother you always wanted. You know, some of you guys, I'm that cool black uncle that you always wanted. And some of you guys, I'm that black son-in-law that you never wanted. Oh, man. This has nothing to do with my message, by the way, but... We're going to dive in. We have lots of fun because, you know, again, like I was looking in the children's ministry, like kids stuff, like this place is like, it's like Disney World at church. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll be honest with you guys, like, kids stuff, people want to clap. Go ahead and clap for that. All right. Kids stuff, folks. Right. Because children's ministry wasn't like that when I was growing up. Matter of fact, let me take you back to young Scott going to church about 6, 7, 8 years old. Young Scott going to church, and children's ministry for young Scott was basically doodling on the back of an offering envelope. You know what I'm saying? And I'm doodling on the back of an offering envelope, and my mom would give me, it was before like gluten-free and all this healthy candy. My mom would give me candy corn. You know what I'm saying? The brother had candy corn. I'd play games with the candy corn. I'd just eat like the white off the top of the candy corn. Then I'd eat the yellow. Then I'd throw the orange up, and I'm doodling on offering envelopes. And the pastor would sit there and preach, and it was different than what you get here at Church by the Glaze. The pastor preached like, and the Lord said, aha, and if you don't quit doing what you're doing, you're going to hell, aha, and Jesus hung out on the cross, aha. I'm like, Mom, why is he so mad? Yelling at everybody. Yeah, this is just a little glimpse of what heaven is going to look like. Aha! Like, if this is what heaven's going to look like, send me to hell. It's ridiculous. Church has been going over 10,000 hours. So long. It's not like that at Church by the Glaze. And aren't you guys glad for it? I really feel like that I'm just the mailman here today to deliver a package that God has given me for each and every one of you. Some of you guys, it's going to be a story that's very familiar. Some of you guys, it may be a story that you heard for the very first time. But here's what I know is that if I come up here and give you information, information will inform you. But if I give it and you get some revelation, revelation will transform you. Revelation, that fresh aha, that fresh word from God. So if you will open your spiritual eyes, you will open your ears, and you will open your heart, God's going to give you some revelation. You're going to walk at these doors different than when you walked in. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you today. And the time that we're going to look at in Scripture is the time where Jesus had been performing miracles. And as he's performing these miracles, people started to hear stories about these miracles and amazing things. How do you guys know, like, when you hear a story about something amazing, like, everybody wants to know about it, right? Like, oh, man, what's going on? It's just like when people get, like, the hookup on something. Everybody, I want the hookup. And so, like, that's what's happening, like, to hear about these miracles. And they're performing these miracles. Everybody's like, man, what's going on? Like, I want to see. I want to be a part. Really? He can perform this miracle? And we're going to pick up in, we're going to go to Luke 8, and we're going to go verse 40 through about verse 55. I'm just going to read the whole text in its entirety, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to unpack it a couple of chunks at a time. Is it okay we just preach the Bible today? You can do better than that. You guys yell louder than that at the Miami Heat game. Is it okay that we just preach the Bible today? Okay. I heard that the 11:30 was the best service to preach at, and so I just help a brother out. Lake Worth, Sample Road, y'all help a brother out. So anyway, here's what the text says. Verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. We could close our Bibles. We could put down our smartphones. We could quit looking at the screen. That's really everything that we need to hear. But I really feel like that God has something special that he wants to speak to each and every one of those you join online, those of you from the front to the back, that if you open your eyes, he's got something fresh he wants to speak to you through this story. So matter of fact, let me go ahead and set the stage for some of the players in the story. You had Jairus, who was the synagogue leader. Just to give you some context, he was the big man on campus. He was the one that was held in high esteem. He was the one that would set the stage for the services. He was the one that would make sure that everything was organized. Everybody looked to him with this honor and respect and this high esteem. And so think about it. For him to reach out and go to Jesus, he had to have his back against the wall. In other words, he had to find himself in a position where he was in dire straits. And oftentimes, that's when we find ourselves going to Jesus. When our back is against the wall, when our deck of cards didn't play like we thought they were going to play, when our situation is different than we thought it was going to be, that's when we reach out to Jesus. And then you had this woman, as some versions of the Bible refer to, this woman with the issue of blood, or this woman who had been subject to bleeding. In other words, this was a lady that bled beyond her cycle for kids that are in here, motorcycle. That's why you need to go to kids stuff. Aha! You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, but literally, like, anything she touched would be considered unclean. So if she touched that chair that you were sitting at, that chair would be unclean. So if she touched the door handle would be unclean. If she touched this table would be unclean. Everything she touched would be considered ceremonially unclean. And so I want you to think about, what did this do to her relationships? Everything she touched was unclean. And so for 12 years, she's trying to find answers to this question that she has. And she spent all of her money, and she spent all of her resources, and she tried Dr. Oz, and she tried Dr. Feel, and she tried everything. She took every single pill you could think about. She used all of her money. She's becoming more and more and more anemic. And she heard the story about Jesus and these miracles, and she knew that she could just find her way to Jesus. If she could just reach out and connect with Jesus, she could experience healing. She tried everything. And as a matter of fact, she knew that she needed to connect with Jesus. And the title of today's message is Stay Connected. As a matter of fact, turn around to your neighbor right now and say, "Stay connected." Turn around to your other neighbor, the one that was your second choice. Turn around to your second choice neighbor and say, "Stay connected. Stay connected." And it's interesting, as you were looking at that, as I was preparing for the message and looking at the story, you had the woman with the issue of blood. How many years did she bleed? 12. And Jairus' daughter was how old? 12. And so I'm thinking, like, God, you got to be speaking something through this number 12. And so as I begin to do some research as to the biblical meaning of the number 12, it literally means power, authority, and completeness. And so that's what we're going to look at today. How do we connect to this power, authority, and completeness that's in Jesus? And the first thing, if you're taking notes, we're going to look at the three ways to stay connected. The first one is this: you have to connect to the power of Jesus. Here's the Bible says, verse 40 through 44. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and what? Fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And so we're talking about she connected to the power of Jesus. And we're talking about connecting to the power of Jesus. It reminds me of these little things right here. What do you guys call these in your house? We call them the box, the cube. What do you call them? Square, box, cube. We call them the pack sometimes in our house. So it's like all those different names. And my family swears up and down that I take them on trips and I lose them. So like my oldest son, he'll write his name on his. You know what I'm saying? I don't think a brother loses them, but they just disappear. And so, but this pack, and so then what I did is I got the bigger one. This is the 12 watt. You know what I'm saying? That other one's just 4 watt. This is the big one. It charged your phone 2 or 3 times faster. It's a little secret that you might not know. So I get the bigger one. And so here's what I'm thinking about. As many of you guys are saying, you know, I want 2018 to be different. New year, new me. And you're sitting there wondering why you didn't experience the blessing and breakthrough in 2017 that you were expecting. The question is were you reaching out and connecting to the power source? And many of you are like, you're trying to connect, but it's like this. This isn't going to help you. What you got to do is if you reach out and you connect to the pack, you connect to this. Guess what? Now you have endless opportunities to tap into this power that can be found in Jesus. And so many of you, you're running around like this. You got to reach out. You got to do your part. You got to connect to the power of Jesus. And you think about it, what's interesting about this story, that's what this woman, the issue of blood, she knew that she needed to reach out and connect with Jesus. But when you look at this story, the Bible doesn't refer to her as Deidre or Sally or Mary or Lisa or Lakendria. It refers to her in some version as the woman with the issue of blood or the woman who had been subject to bleeding. In other words, she was being defined by her condition. And that's how it is in life. If a condition in your life persists for long enough, you'll begin to be defined by that condition. John the alcoholic. Jill that's just like her mama. So-and's Bob that's always going to be a loser. John the crackhead. Joe the alcoholic. Sally who's promiscuous. And you begin to fill in the blank. You're going to be just like so-and-so. And you begin to be defined by that condition, and you got to be careful about allowing those labels to be placed over you. Let me tell you, these labels like you, I saw it happen masterful during the presidential election. First of all, just don't get uptight. This is not political talk. This is some revelation from the Lord that he wants me to give to you for you to be able to understand, me to be able to illustrate this point. So just hold on for 1 second. During the election, President Trump, what he was masterful at doing was giving his opponents labels. I mean, think about it from your own state. What did he call Marco Rubio? Little Marco. What did he call Ted Cruz? Lion Ted. What did he call Jeb Bush? Choke artist Jeb. What did he call Hillary Clinton? Crooked Hillary. I mean, even now, it's Sloppy Steve. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is subliminally, you begin to think about those labels, and those labels is what you begin to remember about someone. And many of you guys, you got a label, somebody else, he just can't get it done. Or she, there's no way they're going to get pregnant. She's not going to find a husband. She's always going to be that way. And you begin to let those labels be the things that are over you. You got to be careful about letting people speak labels over you, that God's not speaking over you. You got to begin to speak. And if nobody's speaking positivity over you, you need to begin to speak it over yourself. You can't let people speak labels over you that are not from God. As a matter of fact, I speak amazing labels over my boys. They're 14 to 18 years old. Man, they need to understand like what the Williams name is, that God's going to make them the most amazing world change of their generation. I don't care what it is that you're doing. You can do it and you can do it well. God's got something amazing and breakthrough and blessing, and God's going to use you to impact your sphere of influence. He's going to use you to impact the world. You're going to be one of the greatest world change of your generation. As a matter of fact, if you have kids that are 14 and 18 years old, they can be world changer number 2 because I've already claimed number 1 over my boys. And the reason that's important is because in life you have two choices. You can elevate your problems or you can elevate your promise and the promises of God, your problems or God's promise. But what you got to understand is whichever one you elevate, that's the one that covers you. Some of you, oh, this is just the story of my life. I ain't gonna never do nothing. It's just how it always is. I always gonna be in this job. I'm from this side of the tracks. I don't got this. I don't got that. They always trying to get me. You know, like, man, I can do all things through Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I don't care what they think. I could care less what people think. I know what God says about me. I'm about to step into a 2018 is gonna be different. Let me tell you this, 2018 is not gonna change unless you do. But if you step into all that God has for you, 2018 is going to be amazing. But again, you got to be careful because what the enemy will do, he'll start to whisper these negative things in your ear. That's all the enemy can do is whisper these negative things. He has no control over you. But if you begin to listen to those lies, you begin to listen to those labels, it'll be a problem. Your condition doesn't define your position. You got to understand that. And that's what God says about you. Second thing, if you're taking notes, you can write this thing down as this. Is you have to submit to the authority of Jesus. Everybody say authority. Authority. Everybody say authority. Authority. Verse 45 through 47. Here's what the Bible says. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. This is key. Listen to this part. I know that power has gone out from me. In other words, he's saying that I know that somebody did their part. They reached out and touched me. And as a result, power has gone out from me. So what you got to understand is if you do your part and reach out, Jesus is putting you on notice that that power can flow from him to you. And many of you are wondering why you're not experiencing the blessing and breakthrough. And you're sitting here with your arms crossed. You're not even serving. You're not even being generous. You're not even giving. And you're not even reaching out and trying to connect to the power of Jesus. He's letting you know, I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, what? Seeing, that's good, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. This woman didn't worry about what everyone thought. We're talking about submitting to the authority of Jesus, the reverence and awe of who he is. He's got so many magnificent names that describe him. One of them is the great I am. I am that I am. This is who I am. Jesus is amazing. So he deserves this reverence and awe. And so she understood that. That's what she did. She realized at that moment that she couldn't go unnoticed. And so she fell and trembling at his feet. And so I'm here to put you on notice that you can't go unnoticed. God is not surprised by anything that you're doing. And so what you got to do is you got to come clean in order to become clean. Some of you are getting high last night. You got to come clean in order to become clean. It's not, you're not fooling God. Some of you are clicking on porn before you came to church today. You got to come clean in order to become clean. Some of you guys are sliding into some DMs that you shouldn't be. You got to come clean in order to become clean. Some of you are preparing to cheat on your taxes, and it just came to 2018. Got a little uncomfortable at that moment, didn't it? You got to come clean in order to become clean. Let me just come clean with you guys. I wish I had this preacher boy story that went to seminary and did this and did Bible study, had this amazing story and did this, and one thing led to this, and I got a job as a youth pastor and started, became a pastor, was able to preach God's word. That's not my story. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll just be real honest with you. Come clean to become clean. You know, our oldest son, Scott Wesley Williams Jr., he was in our wedding. You do the math. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all are like. And the reason why that's important, because a lot of times people say, well, Scott, when did your journey of following Jesus, when did it really begin? Was it when you were saved? No, I can answer the question easy. Over 18 years ago when Wesley was born, ever since that moment, I made this commitment to walk after Jesus. And so as a result, my life is different. My family's life is different as a result of that moment. But every single one of you have a story. But you got to be willing to come clean about that story so God can do the work that he needs to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. When he got a little bit older and being a preacher's kid, we were looking at some old wedding pictures. He's like, Mom, Dad, How was I in y'all's wedding? Like, boy, you heard the story of the Virgin Mary. Aha! You know what I'm saying? You were so special, God gave you to us early. You know what I'm saying? I remember when Wesley was younger, I always tell him, like, when you greet somebody, the thing that you do is you go and you look them in the eye, you give them a firm handshake and say, "Hi, I'm Wesley Williams." And like, tell the same thing to Jaden or anybody meet, like, don't go to somebody with some limp handshake. The one thing you do, you look them in the eyes, an adult, no matter who is your greeting, just with out of respect of authority, just "I am," and tell them your name. And that's what you do. Don't want no limp handshake, firm handshake, "I am," and tell them your name. As a matter of fact, all of our locations, everybody online, on a count of three, we're all going to say "I am," and then you're going to yell out your name. Whatever your name is, the name that God gave you. And some of you are like, "No, God didn't give me this name. My mama name gave me this name. This name God. This ain't from God." But on a count of three, we're going to say, "I am." Okay, this is not hard. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, you're going to repeat after me. We're all going to say "I am," and then we're going to shout out our names. Everybody got that? Lake Worth, I know y'all were with me. I don't know what's going on in here. But anyway, ready? One, two, three. "I am." So you yelled out all these different names. I heard Fred, I heard Tom, I heard LaQuisha, like all these different names that you guys yelled out. But it's interesting, as I was thinking about this message, I talked about one of the names of God is what? "I am, the great I am." Do you think it's ironic that we can't even introduce ourselves and tell anybody who we are without acknowledging who he is? Oh, some of you guys missed that right there. That's some really good preaching. That's some fresh revelation right there. In other words, "I am Scott Williams." So the next time you say "I am" and you introduce yourself to someone, let that be the reminder of the reverence and the awe and the authority that Jesus deserves. Yeah, you can clap for that because I think that's good. And this is the part of the sermon where somebody will come play on the keys behind me to make me sound a lot more spiritual. This is the part where the preachers say, "As I close." You got me? Okay, good. Oh, we got the whole band. We making the band. Good. Got some cymbals over there? That's good. What y'all got? Bass, you got something? Okay. Last thing, if you're taking notes, is this. You have to trust in the completeness of Jesus. Verse 48. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, "Not let anyone go in except for Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother." Meanwhile, in other words, hearing them, oh, check this out. All the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing, stop tripping," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." I'm here to tell you that dream that you had to start that business, it's not dead, but asleep. You wanted to go back to college, it's not dead, but asleep. You want to restore your relationship, it's not dead, it's asleep. You want to forgive them, that opportunity, it's not dead, it's just asleep. That healing and that blessing and that breakthrough that you were looking for, it's not dead, it's just asleep. You know what it is that you've been praying for, that you've been wanting, and you thought it was dead, but you need to understand, it's not dead. It's just asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. We're talking about trusting in the completeness of Jesus. We're talking about faith. We're talking about increasing our faith. That's what the scripture is talking about. It's about where is your faith, because God is not moved by the size of your situation. God is not moved by the size of your problems in 2017. God is moved by the size of your faith. The question is, how big is your faith? Is your faith big enough? Do you believe that God's going to show up and your situation is going to blow up? Are you sitting there where it's just a story of my life? You got to believe it, because if you don't believe it, why do you expect God to do something about it? Here's the deal. You got to connect to the power. You got to submit to the authority, and you got to trust in the completeness that God is going to bring it to fruition. I don't care what it is that you're facing. Could you do me a favor? Could you put verse 50 up there for me again? Verse 50, real quick. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, what did he say? Don't be afraid, semicolon, just believe, and she will be healed. You see, the semicolon is this interesting piece of punctuation that's been around since the 1400s. Altus Matineus is the one that came up with it. It's like the OG of emojis. It was the emoji before emojis were emoji. It's like this winking, whimsical piece of punctuation that's been around and stood the test of time. But the way writers use it is this, is where a sentence is supposed to end. It says the sentence is supposed to end right there, but no, there's more to the story. And so we serve a God that puts semicolons in every single one of our stories. As a matter of fact, every single time I say semicolon, I want you guys to yell out, just believe. Semicolon. Come on, you can do better than that. Semicolon. I don't care what it is you're facing. Maybe your mama's been diagnosed with cancer. She's stage 4. The doctor said that she's only got 60 days to live. But you know what? You believe in an amazing God that still performs the same miracles he did with the woman with the issue of blood. And you say, I know what, she's going to have healing. You know why? Semicolon. You've been praying for Mr. and Mrs. Wright, but they don't seem to be anywhere in sight. But you know that God's got something special for you. You know why? Semicolon. Some of you couples been trying to get pregnant week after week, month after month, but yet no positive pregnancy. But God's got a baby that's on the way. But you need to do what? Semicolon. Here's the deal. You got some relationships that are fractured. You got addictions that you're facing. You got some things that only you and God know about. But today's the day that you say, you know what? All the problems that I had, all the questions that I had, I got some answer because I serve an amazing God. I serve a God that said, you know what? Semicolon. I don't care what you're facing today. God's got something special for you. He's got blessing. He's got financial provision, sir. Go ahead and clap. Ma'am, I see you right there. Wipe those tears away. I see you, sir. God's got blessing and breakthrough for you. We serve an amazing God, but you got to do your part. You got to reach out, and when you do, you'll see amazing things that God's going to do in your life. It's interesting. We looked at this number 12, power, authority, and completeness. Is it interesting that the first time Jesus recorded in the Bible speaking, he was 12 years old? There's 12 disciples. There's the 12 tribes of Israel. There's the 12 pearly gates. And if you look at it, and guess what? There's 12 months a year that Jesus had that same healing power that raised Jairus' daughter and that healed the woman with the issue. But he can heal your situation. He can heal the hemorrhaging that you have in your life. He can heal the relationships that have been molded and been broken and been busted. And that's who Jesus is. But here's what you also need to know. Is the number 12 is used 187 times in scripture. And 187 just happens to be the California Penal Code for murder. And there's an enemy that wants to murder your dreams. He wants to murder the visions that you had in 2018. He wants them, but you say, you know what? Satan, you get behind me, because I trust that we serve an amazing God. A God that's going to allow provision. A God that's going to allow blessing. A God that's going to allow breakthrough. We serve an amazing God. Come on. If you believe that God is going to do something amazing in your life in 2018, I want you to raise your voice right now. I want you to give him 15 seconds of praise. Come on now. We serve an amazing God. We serve a Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We serve an amazing God. I'm telling you, this is not just some words that we're saying. This is healing, blessing, and breakthrough that's going to happen. All across this room, heads bowed and eyes closed. God, I pray for every single person that's in this room, every single person that's online, every single person that's at every single one of our campuses, God. God, I pray that you would begin to increase their faith, Lord. I pray they can't get through this week without you revealing yourself to them, God. I pray for those that had tears in their eyes, Lord, that they turn those into tears of joy. I pray for people that have lots of questions about what the future is, what's next, God, why this situation, that you would reveal the answer to them this week, God. God, I pray that marriages that were hanging on by a thread, that you mend those relationships. I pray that people that were dabbling in sin, that they repent, they walk out these doors, and they that they would change, God. I pray that people who are on the sidelines, that they would get in the game, that they would serve, that they would be generous, God. Bless these people, oh Lord. Increase their finances, God. Change them. Allow them to be world changed. I pray for this next generation of world changers, that you allow them to see their calling instantly. I pray for fathers that would speak boldly into their families' lives. I pray for those that are spending all their time at work, they begin to spend time with their kids. Let them know what they're supposed to do, God. Bless them. Release them. And let them change the world. We love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up for our God. Come on, one more time. Come on, come on. You're louder than that at a Dolphins game. You're louder than that at a Heat game. Put your hands together. Come on, come on, come on. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. 2018 is going to be different. It's going to change because you're going to change. Come on now, come on now. God bless you guys. God bless you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.